Good morning, everyone. This is you're tuning into Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine, and it is Mother's Day weekend.
Yay!
Good morning, Claudine.
Good morning.
What's happening?
Well, the sun is out.
Beautiful
and
day.
And we're enjoying it. It's not too hot yet. I know, I think it was it last week? It got up to the 90s. And I remember we were outside and I thought, oh, I can't believe it's so hot, my God. And then I, wait a minute, this is going to seem cool in about a month. So let's enjoy it while it's here. Mother's Day weekend is here. It's going to be a great weekend for all the mothers out there.
Yes.
And even if you're not a mother, maybe you have somebody to celebrate. Grandma,
yeah,
mother.
It's a full weekend of celebration for us. You know, my wife, mother of three teenagers, and we are going to make sure that she's encouraged. And there's my mother-in-law, and there's a bunch of other moms that I know, and there's in our church too on Sunday tomorrow. And it's a good weekend. Gosh, it seems like there's a lot going on, as always, right?
Right.
Business, there's a lot going on in the business side and then the legal side, and we can fill an hour of all the things that are going on with our different clients in the different situations in the economy. But with that said, we have a great show for you guys today. And by the way, we've been getting hits, emails, and calls to us. And so which means that you're actually going to our websites and calling us and asking questions. So and that makes me very happy because...
Absolutely.
Because
that's what we do.
Because we're actually making you think.
Right. Hopefully.
We're making you think about business
or maybe
and
just
legal
affirming
stuff.
Some of the things that you've been doing and you're not really sure. Maybe you're feeling a little bit more validated or affirmed, like you're on the right track. And that's good too.
So you know, I just love the feedback, and you know, we're here to help. We're practitioners. We're running businesses, and we're creating a brand, and we want to create a community of business owners who may or may not be getting the answers out there in the marketplace. There's nothing worse to me than trying to find something on Google. Now, let me Google it and find out what you know, 1099 versus, you know, W-2 is, or what do I do if I have a partnership, or what if I do if I want to scale my business? What if I do if I want to franchise? Right. There's a lot of resources out there, and you can spend hours, if not days, looking for things. But what we want to create here is a community where we're going to be able to give you a lot of the answers to questions you already have.
Well, and we have resources that the average person doesn't have. I know particularly in our case, we have really well laid out practice guides and really great opportunities for research where we can kind of zero in on particular issues. So, and that's stuff that's not just available to just the, you know, anybody. I mean, of course, the law library in Modesto is open, and that's a really great resource. But knowing how to do the research to get to the answers that you're looking for is really half the battle. I know that there are attorneys that I work with that are just fantastic at research. And you can ask him a question, and Harpreet, he was a guest on the show a number of weeks ago. He's absolutely fantastic at research. You know, ask him a question, and he'll have an answer for you in a matter of minutes. He's just so quick at it.
And it's so great to have people like that on your team who are passionate about getting the right answers.
Right.
I mean,
and don't slow down. And don't give you the answer just because it's something you want to hear, but we really, really want to give you the right answer, even if it's something you don't want to hear, because we want to protect your interests.
Yeah. So we love doing this show. This show has been good to us already, and just grateful for the opportunity to come out and just talking about subjects, topics, and matters that you care about. And if you're a business owner, if you're driving to and fro on a Saturday morning and it's 10 o'clock, you know, and please share this with your friends, you know, who are happen to be, we speak to specifically to business owners, whether you are starting out or whether you have $15, $20 million in revenue, I am sure that you're going to have questions about business and legal side. So with that, we have a fantastic show for you today, if you don't mind me saying so.
I do. I think it's going to be a great subject, and it's a little on the lighter side.
Yeah, it's a little funner. So do you want to tell us what the topic is for today? After all, you kind of did the research.
Well, leave it to me to do the research. So what we're going to talk about today is, you know, what does it take to be a successful CEO? And I think for the listeners, we want to Use the word CEO interchangeably with business owner, or, you know, head of the business. And maybe you're not the owner, the CEO, but you are in that key management role where you're at, you know, maybe the top one or two positions of the company. And being a successful CEO is a completely different job than working your business. And I know so many of us have started businesses where we were the one person doing the business. I know when I started out,
a one man woman show.
I was a one woman show for quite a while, and that's not just in the legal practice, but also in several other businesses. You have an idea, and you think, oh, you know, I want to make widgets, and these widgets are really cute, and I can sell a lot of them online. And the next thing you know, there comes a point in time where you have to transition over from being the person who's working the business or working in the business, mm-hmm. to being the person who works, and you have a different set of skills and requirements. I know even now for me, with several attorneys in house and, you know, support staff, it's very hard for me to pull away from just being a lawyer,
right,
to being a CEO. And I thought that this is one of the reasons why I thought the subject would be interesting, mm-hmm. Is because at what point do you do that?
I think we're both going through that.
Yeah.
You know, I think it is sort of the natural progression of entrepreneurship, in my opinion. You come in with a great idea for a product or service. And then if you were to have everything you needed together, everything you needed to have, a perfect business plan, the right amount of money, the right temperature in the marketplace, I think 99% of businesses will not ever get started.
Right.
Because you would suffer from analysis paralysis. So you're good at one thing and you go do it.
Right.
You know, one of the things, I love one of the quotes that I'm not sure who said it, but it's, if you're going to fail, fail fast. Right?
Oh, I love it.
And fail forward. So every time you have something that doesn't work, learn from it and move forward.
Right.
Momentum is everything. So before we get into the thick of it and to some of the questions and content for today's show, any updates on your side, on the legal side? Anything juicy that we should know about here in the Central Valley?
No, I don't have anything particularly juicy in the Central Valley.
What?
No.
We have no legal problems in the Central Valley. What in the world?
Yet.
Come on.
Not yet.
You got to have some.
I think we ironed out a lot of problems this week, had some really great results for clients. That's really exciting. I can't go into detail, of course, but had two cases that we're working on where we were able to get results quickly, and it was atypical. It was not atypical.
Really?
I guess that's the other way around. Both cases were situations where we fully anticipated some heavy lifting before we could even start seeing some results, and turned out both of them came together really, really quick. One involved a governmental agency up north. And anytime we're dealing with the governmental agencies, it's a little bit different.
Yep.
Things take time.
Yep.
And, you know, we were able to get the client in and a fantastic resolution. Everybody's now working together, and the client's going to be able to complete a very lucrative contract for a governmental agency. And we had run into some wrinkles in the rug, so to speak. And I think, we only spent a few hours on it, which was really, really exciting. And I said it out loud, and I think several people in the office looked at me. And I said, "Oh, that was great. We only spent a couple of hours on that, and look at the result we got." And I think that's somewhat counterintuitive to my industry, where a lot of folks look for how many billable hours can I possibly get out of this case.
Right.
We're a lot more goal structured, and so our first instinct is, we reached the goal, and it only took us 3 hours.
Because you're a good lawyer.
Well, we're good lawyers, but we're probably more importantly, we're hard workers, and we want to get the goal achieved and move on down the road. So that was probably the biggest and exciting thing that happened to us this week. That's really good. Go home with a good feeling and on a little bit of a high.
You know what? Now that I think about it, I don't have any juice either.
What? No, well, numbers? Nothing with the numbers?
No, just nothing that sticks. I mean, no major, nothing that I can think of that is worth mentioning here today before the show. But there's just a lot of fluidity. We're still recovering from, you know, post 2018 regulation of the tax code, or, you know, the revamping of the tax code. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're going into this, you know, growth. You know, we are trying to just get momentum into the second quarter, which is very, very important. So I think you know, it's we don't have to have drama, I guess.
No. But aren't you seeing growth within your customers, your clients?
Yes.
I mean, it's happening with clients as fast as it can happen.
Well, good point. Typically, there is emergencies going on. There is a lot more stress going when you're actually in a downward cycle, right, where people are actually losing money or there's disruption in the marketplace for particular industries. But right now, in all the industries that I'm involved, there is growth. So we have growth problems.
We have growth problems. That's a really good way to put it.
You know, which you need to forecast and cash forecasting and that sort of thing. But anyway, so... we're going on to break and we're going to be right back. You're listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leah and Claudine. Stay tuned. Hey, what's up, everybody? We're back. Business and Legal Talk with Leah and Claudine on a beautiful Saturday morning, Mother's Day here, May 11th, 2019. So we're talking about, okay, so here's the thing, guys. We're talking about what does it take to be a successful CEO? And I know that is something that has been resonating in your head and you've been thinking about this, Claudine, for some time. Tell us all about it.
Well, as I was saying to you when we were prepping for the show, is this subject is something that... I know that I wrestle with, probably part of it is because our business is tied to hours. So, you know, we bill based on hours. There's only so many hours in the day.
Your product is the hours.
Yeah. Right. And so, you know, if I'm doing non-billable things during the day, at some point I have to make time for my billable hours, which, you know, we all have to have a certain level of productivity. And that will probably be the case for some time. So when I'm away from the office, when I'm doing networking or when I'm meeting mm-hmm. with clients and I'm, you know, I'm not necessarily, you know, on the clock, so to speak, I have to start to kind of calculate how much is okay to be away. And then, wait a minute, what is it I'm supposed to be doing as the chief in charge here?
What is the task? So what you're saying, what is in the job description? What part of the job description on the CEO should I be doing right now?
Right. And so what you know, in thinking about this and kind of looking into, you know, what do CEOs do? And again, we're using the term CEO kind of interchangeably.
Loosely.
loosely. And just that the leader of the company is really responsible for the vision and the direction of the company. And you have to be seeing on the horizon. Was listening to a podcast, somebody that you and I both listen to, and I think you listen to him pretty regular, if not occasionally, Gary Vee.
Oh, yeah. Gary Vee.
He's hilarious. But,
shout out.
Shout out to the Gary Vee show. But anyway, one of the things that he was talking about that I found was really interesting is having to be in that position where you're constantly looking at the horizon. Mm-hmm. You have to predict it before it happens. That's your job.
Right.
You're not here just to do the day-to-day stuff. And you're, while our company may be, again, making widgets or maybe, you know, designing shoes or, you know, what have you, it's our job to be looking at the horizon and seeing what is going to be the new trend. What's the next trend? Because by the time we've set in motion to do or accomplish something that is selling today, we have to be looking at the horizon and figuring out what's going to sell tomorrow and be geared up and ready to rock for tomorrow. And that's when we see the businesses go under. It made me think of merging onto a freeway. And you know, the traffic is going really fast and you're merging. And so you're speeding up to get in onto the freeway and you catch up to speed. But then do you maintain that speed? Are you there and able to continually stay on the edge of your industry? And that's kind of falls into the second thing I think a lot of CEOs should be really focused on is being innovative within your own industry. So, you know, how do you stay innovative in your own industry?
Right.
What are you doing?
Well, so let me go back. Let me redirect here. So I love what you put down here. The CEO is responsible for the vision and direction of the company. I love that. And you know how often founders forget that?
I think you get caught up in your
very
own world.
Very often.
Yeah.
You miss the forest for the trees. You know, you hear that. And so I was telling you during the break that when I engaged, you know, I'm a strategist, I'm a CFO, and I help scale businesses. And one of the first questions I ask, and one of the first questions you should be asking yourself if you're listening to the show, is this: why am I doing this?
Right.
Why do you get up in the morning? What gets you up in the morning
right.
about your business? And that changes.
Well, and if you're not in love with the process, you may want to consider closing the doors.
Yeah, but if you're not making money, you definitely should consider stopping, you know, the losses. So
Right. But the process of the day-to-day. So I don't even think I told you this. I was preparing for a seminar. I'm giving a seminar on non-disclosure agreements, which I know most people.
Oh, the big conference that you're going to?
No. It's just it's an hour and a half seminar that will be online through National Business Institute.
Oh, excuse us.
Well, excuse
big me. Big time celebrity.
No, I don't know about that. But anyway, I spent most of last weekend preparing for the seminar and getting my material ready. And they requested that I put together 25 pages of material. And I initially thought, 25 pages on a non-disclosure agreement. So that might be
maybe a bit much.
Might be a bit of a challenge. And I came home last Saturday afternoon, pretty much had it down and accomplished. But I was so excited because I really love what I do. I loved researching it. I love knowing all the cases. I love knowing exactly, you know, where they are implemented, how they're implemented, when you can implement them better, you know, how they can be a tool in your business. And at the end of the day, even though I spent a Saturday working, I came home very excited and fired up and had a great day. And I'm thinking, if you're a business owner or you're a CEO and you don't love the process, consider closing the doors. If
right.
you don't love what right. you do, and we don't love it every day, that's ridiculous.
Right.
We all know that. We don't
yes.
love it every single day. There's days that you just, you know, want to commit hara-kiri and just be done with it. but if you don't love the process, you know, and that's where you get good at the process. And that's what makes you a good...
But you know what buy... Okay, so this is where I have to go in a little M&A, merger and acquisitions.
Right.
And several of my clients, I have exit strategies. So back
yes.
to what I asked you. So when I engaged, when my company aligns and partners up with a business, you know, whether it is $500,000 business or $15 million business or $20 million business, I need to understand from the ownership, from the shareholders, from the members, from the senior management team, where you are going. Now, if you're telling me, Leo, we want to maximize the value of the company in the next 3 years and dress up for sale, the strategy, the strategy to support that vision is different than you're telling me, you know, all I want is a multi-generational business.
Right.
We have no intention of selling.
Right.
We just want to stabilize the company, produce enough cash flow for us to get paid and retire and become absentee owners.
Right.
Okay. The time horizon is a little different than if you want to exit. Right?
Correct.
As in selling. And so the whole thing that you're talking about systems and processes plays into that. You know, I've said it. If you have listened any length of time, the show, I always have some key analogies that I use in the franchise model, right? And why McDonald's is McDonald's, and the Starbucks model of business, in which what in a strategic buyer, a buyer who has a pile of cash and wants to give it to you in exchange for your business, what they want, it's not you.
Right.
What do they want?
Right.
They want this huge binder that has 400 pages of systems and standard operating procedures. We call it the SOP Bible.
Right.
About your business. It could be the Sharon Law Firm. It mm-hmm. could be Greenland. But what they want is, I'm going to remove the absentee owner and I want to take it on, and I'm going to consider this an annuity, right? It produces X amount of dollars, and I need to know how to do everything that is in the book. How do you answer, from as simple as how to answer the phone, answering the phone, as to how to take messages, and as complex as how do we know when to adjust the gross margin, and how do you price your services, and how not much insurance do we need, and how often do we lead the, you know, if you're dealing with lawyers, is, you know, what is the metrics that you need to manage if I'm a non-lawyer running a law firm,
right?
All of those things are in the standard operating procedure manual, and the strategy becomes different. So say you want to sell in 3 years. First thing I want to know is, like, okay, let's work backwards. What does it look like? What does it look like through the eyes of the buyer? What revenue you need to have? What is your gross profit? What is your net profit? What systems do you need to have in place? Where are you trending? Like, what do you trend with your peers?
Right.
Like, if you're growing at 45% year over year, but your industry is growing at 25%, there's something about you that makes you even more valuable to a buyer because you're growing faster. So I want to digress. I'm getting too much into the detail, but the vision.
Well, it's the vision, but the process. So if what your goal is to sell your business in 3 years, you have to love that process of getting that business up, getting the clients in the door, getting the SOPs together, which you're absolutely correct, is an absolute, completely different process than starting a multi-generational business. And that you're going to, you're grooming the next generation to come in and take over the business. Totally different process. Whatever it is, you have to love not just the goal.
Right.
You don't get into business thinking, I want to be a millionaire. That hopefully comes along with it. But that, if that's the only goal that you have, you're going to probably be swimming around in circles for a while.
So, I this is a great conversation. And I think you should be having this conversation with somebody whom you trust. If you don't trust anybody within your business or your own company, you don't have employees, I think it's good to join some type of mastermind.
Yes.
Somebody who is actually at your level, who can challenge your assumptions, because we are our worst enemy sometimes, right? And you become who you surround yourself with, right?
It's true.
As a business owner.
It's true. One of the reasons why we highly, highly, highly recommend for our clients to meet with us in group settings is just for this reason.
Mm-hmm.
Have your accountant there, have your CPA, whoever you're working with, have your attorney there, and have these conversations at a higher level where you have some trusted advisors who absolutely see things differently. Absolutely see things differently.
So, point number one, what does it take to be a successful CEO? Surround yourself with a great informal board of advisors.
Yes.
Comprised of people who are going to, think of this. And I always think of this myself. If you are the smartest person in a room full of people, you may be in the wrong group.
I absolutely agree.
Think about it, right? If you are surrounded by people who are brilliant, smart, progressive thinkers, visionaries, you will become like them by proxy. So if you want to be great, hang out with great. If you want to be an eagle, hang out with eagles, right? And this whole thing, surround yourself and come up with people that you go. They may be paid advisors. They may not be paid advisors. I have surrounded myself with a great group of people, and you're one of them. We bounce each other's ideas because I want to make sure that legally I'm not going to fall off a cliff.
Right. And we'll just, we're the classic, see things different.
Right.
We just have a different initial approach to things, just because we come from a different world.
Time for a selfish plug-in. What is it? What do we do? We have people that tune into our show that come and go, and I got a phone call from somebody who said, "Hey, I was just going to the store, and I was getting out, and about 10 minutes, I listened to the show, and we said one nugget, right? So, but if you're wondering for who we are, and you get that one nugget, and that turns into $1 million worth of sales, God bless you.
Amen.
That's a good thing. So, with that." We are a Greenland HQ, www.greenland, as in the country of Greenland, GreenlandHQ for headquarters.com. Or you can go to where?
Sharon-law.com, S-H-E-R-O-N-L-A-W. RRON-Live.com.
Okay, I hope we, hey, I don't know about you guys, but I'm having a great time. We'll be right back. You're listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine. There is so much in my head today. Man, you stirred something up in me, Claudine. Gosh darn
it. Leave it to me.
Wow. I mean, just being a CEO and, you know, just the evolution of what it takes from, you know, starting out and what a CEO is. The CEO at the beginning is the janitor and is also the receptionist and is also the CFO and is also the CEO. To a point where you're actually truly a CEO and the only thing you have to worry about, you become Larry Ellison from Oracle, and that's the only thing you do is the cast division of the company, and every you have boatloads of people working for you.
And wave the magic wand. Don't forget the magic wand.
Don't forget the magic wand.
And all of that that comes along with it, the magic.
So, what do you want to talk about? I mean, we have...
So I know this happens to me, and I'm sure it happens to you. My husband's a general contractor, and this happens to him. How do you handle it when a client comes on board and insists that they want to work with you and only you?
That's the million-dollar question.
Right?
I when you asked me that earlier, I was like, wow. You know, let's just talk about it, because I think it's good exercise for us to even discuss it ourselves. It happens to me. In fact, I was telling you that, you know, although I have multiple people that are very qualified at my firm, somebody called and went through the process of discovery, and loved the brand, loved what we do. And he says, but I absolutely want to work with you, Leo, because you are the one, who, you know, the face of the company, the founder. And you know what? It was, that was that or nothing.
Right.
Now, how do you overcome that? I'm still trying to figure it out.
Right. In our case, I work with clients and I try to kind of preempt them and set expectations in the very beginning. I typically will meet with the clients and I do have the final word in our firm as to whether or not we're going to take on a case or take on a client. And well, I will back my associate's decision. I will always support them. If they say, you know what, this is a case we don't want to deal with. This is not aligned with our values here. I will absolutely support them. Consequently, if they say this is a case that I think that we should really take on, I'll support them in that. However, I do have the last final decision. So when I'm working with a new client, if I'm the one who is going through the new client consultation and talking with them or I happen to meet them somewhere, I have made a very, very particular effort when I hired to hire associates that have very particular skills different than mine and in many respects better than mine.
Complementary.
Absolutely. Mm. And so I have associates that when an assignment goes to them, they're the best in the house for that assignment.
Mm.
And I really have, I've learned from being in various other businesses and in particular the construction industry where my husband is, you know, he's a very, very experienced finish contractor. He can do finish work and it takes a lot of skill and learning and so forth. And too often people, they hired him. And then if he had a crew member go in to do the work, immediately there was this anticipation that the crew member was less skilled, less than, and wasn't going to do as good of a job. And so I've always kind of in my mind been trying to mitigate that. And how do I mitigate that? And our way in our firm was to hire people who are better than me in their respective areas.
Areas of practice, right.
And I think that one of the mistakes a lot of business owners make is you're trying to find somebody who has your skill or your same level of skill or you know, that is somehow equal to you. And that's just the kind of the knee-jerk reaction, the go-to on that. But when you hire somebody that has a particularly different set of skills, and those skills happen to be better than your skills in that area, then you have an ability to diversify the work. And you can say, hey, I've got this guy, he's a tile setter, he's the best tile setter. I am terrible at setting tile. But my guy here, on the other hand, he's the best tile setter, you know, ever. And then the anticipation from the client is you're now sending the best person for that job in the door to do the job.
Right. Well,
so I don't know, in your world, it's a little different.
Well, you know what? Yes and no. Every company that became somebody, that became a brand, whether the brand was regional or national, mm-hmm. goes through that process. I think whether you provide a service or you manufacture widgets or product, right, you are going to go through that. It's easier to get away on the product side of things than on the service side, because service is personal. However, it happens all the time. You know, how do staffing companies become the Art Deco? You know, Robert Half was Robert Half.
Right.
How did he become something other than Robert Half? Right?
Right.
I mean, it I think is what you said is very important. You hire the best people that can carry on the legacy. It's about reputation. But more than anything is the process of delivery of that service. Right? So what I'm trying to do with my firm is standardize the service delivery model, right? So it's done. Remember the whole franchise mm-hmm. model? So right. How do you perform the services? How do you do the bookkeeping? How do you do the bill pay? How do you do the accounts receivable? The way we do it is got to be, so if I do it, it's going to be exactly as 10 other people in my company that do it. And that to me is ensuring that this is not the same that is In-N-Out Burgers tastes the same here in Modesto than I would do in Fresno, they would do in Sacramento. It's the same way is the process.
Right.
So if you standardize your process and then delivery model, there's no other Claudine. You are as good as they come. You're the founder of the firm. But if you're able to translate your knowledge into standard operating procedures that can be replicated.
See, and this is where your world completely diverges from ours.
Right. I mean,
in your world, you do have procedures, and you have an ability, at least to a greater extent, to standardize.
Yeah. Yes.
Not everything can be standardized, but to a much greater extent. Whereas in our world, every case is different. Every case is going to require, you know, a particular and different skill set and a different background of knowledge. If a client comes in and they have a class action lawsuit for wage hour disputes, you have to have a certain particular background and knowledge in that area of law. Now, there could be a case that comes in the door that is really, we have some really complicated land issues going on right now within the firm, where people have purchased land, deeds were not transferred when they were supposed to be, and now certain people have died, and now we have to figure out how do we get title to the property transferred, and we're now on the third generation of people, and we don't have living trusts, and we don't have probates, and we don't, you know, who's got proof of payment, and you know, who's paid the taxes. So a case like that comes down, and that is set for somebody who really has the ability to do some in-depth research, to really stick with it, to dig deep, figure out, you know, where the case law is and where the statutes meet the case law and what are your alternatives procedurally, as opposed to something where you know the background of the law, you know wage hour law, you know how to get through, and you know how to, you know the procedure in a courtroom.
Okay.
So for us, We and I suspect for listeners out there who have different types of businesses, you and I are kind of presenting two things that are on opposite ends of the spectrum.
Right.
And folks out there listening can say, where do I fall in that spectrum? Mm-hmm. Is my business such that I have to find people and employ various people who are good in different areas, and all of us together make, say, for example, the general contractor example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got the great guy who's great at drywall. I've got the guy who's great at, you know, painting and laying, you know,
laying tile. You or, said.
Yeah, laying mud on the wall. And then here's the guy who's great at tile. And all of us combined together, we make this great, you know, whole. Whereas in your world, you can come up with procedures and processes, and then you bring everybody's skill level up,
except for the advisory.
Except for then,
which is we're very much the same.
Yeah.
So I have, you know, and this is fluid. Sometimes you're listening to this. We're not gonna come with the solutions. We're gonna just duke it out here because it helps you understand our thought process.
Yeah.
You know, we're here to build a talk show that really resonates with the community. So we may not have all the answers figured out. So I'm sure that you can relate to us. But if you're aside from the CFO advisory and aside, there must be something in your business that if you're, okay, how about this? There may be areas, let's just forget about accounting and law,
okay.
Just business in general.
Okay.
Now, if you're a founder CEO and you're good at that one thing and you're tied to the business that way and it produces revenue that pays bills, what other revenue streams, passive income, recurring revenue, whether it is monthly or annual, can you bring into your company that does not depend on you?
That's a challenge.
Right?
Yeah, that's a real challenge. And for a lot of the service businesses, it's looking for a product to sell. Okay, you're a landscaper. And do you have a product that you can sell? Maybe you have tools or, mm-hmm. you know, that you can buy at wholesale and you can sell to your clients. Or, you know, maybe it's maintenance parts for, you know, whatever yard tools or, you know, whatever, or maybe it's, you know, yard decorations and you're working in somebody's yard and you come out and you have this set of, you know, outdoor candles that you can sell to them. Those are hey, you're working in people's yards.
Little Amazon store online on the side.
Well, I don't know if it's online, but you can, you know, come and, you know, bring products. Is there a product you can add to your service? I know we've looked at it in our business. Is there some sort of a product? And we have taken some of our services and packaged them as more as a product. And so then we are dealing with selling a product versus selling billable hours.
You're saying productize yourself. If you're in a particular service model.
Right. Particularly if you're a service. If you are a service. So
check that out. You know, if you're listening to the show, if you provide exclusive, some type of service, what part of your service can you productize?
Right. Or is there a product that you could have access to mm-hmm. that would complement the service that you're providing? So again, back to the landscaping idea, you know, maybe you have this great variety of candles that you sell and they're all for your yard and they sit on your patio tables and, you know, there's something special and you can sell them to clients and clients love, you know, the fact that you come and do the yards and the yards look gorgeous. And then at the end of the service, you know, you also have some, you know, yard or patio decorations that you use. I mean, look how much money is spent on just patio decorations. Tons.
Right.
And if you're a landscaper, maybe you have some patio decorations that you sell.
Well, more to come. We're having a great time here. You're listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine. We're having a ball talking about, hey, being a successful CEO. We'll be right back. Yeah. We're back. Man, I'm having too much fun now with the mic.
I know.
We're loving doing the show. You know, I didn't realize before I started doing the show that I actually enjoyed doing the show and just took a risk.
I would have thought that you would have had to have, you know, drugged me behind wild
horses. And look at you.
I know. We actually have
a
really good time.
We can't stop talking.
Well, that's, I think literally every meeting you and I have ever had has gone along.
The 3 hours.
I know. We started trying to do an hour meeting and then it was like, we might as well be here for 3 hours. Let's just mark off the whole entire day.
But you know what? You are, it goes back to, you are who you hang out with.
No question.
You know, and I think the reason why even we decided to do the show together is because there is this yin and yang. We're sharpening each other to be better CEOs of our own companies. And that comes with just hanging out with the people that they can make you better.
Right. And I like the idea that giving people access to things that they would not otherwise have, and giving people access to just thoughts about business and what you think about it, what versus what I think about it, and how the two concepts and the two completely different strategies play out gives people an opportunity to kind of to contemplate it while they're out doing their thing. You know, maybe they're at work and they've got the radio on, or they're driving, you know, down the highway. But giving people access to the thought processes that go into how do we advise people? We're working with CEOs all the time. We're working with, usually it's not the employee of a company calling me to engage services.
Right. It's usually the owner.
It's usually
the CEO.
The owner, the CEO.
Same with me.
And so we're dealing with things at the top of the pinnacle.
Right.
And I have often thought, I've got a couple, three or four clients who all have a really solid key internal employee.
Okay.
And I do work with those key employees. So once the engagement is established and now we begin the business of taking care of whatever the matter is that we're working on with them, I oftentimes end up working with that key person within the business. And I have often thought that I need to set up like a coffee group, like a once a month, because these five key people all experience similar things. They're in different industries. A couple of them are in construction, so they're in a similar industry. But how do they deal with, you know, these different issues? And if they had that camaraderie amongst each other, where they knew that they could call, you know, so-and-so over at ABC, you know, business, and they could talk to that gal and say, oh man, you know, I know you've been doing this for 30 years and you've been a key employee here at your business and this is what I'm up against. But being able to generate and create a camaraderie of people who can bounce ideas off of each other is so incredibly important.
I like where you're going with that, and I think it's so critical. There is not such thing as a self-made CEO without influence from other people.
Oh no.
You know, it goes back to being able to be coachable. You know, Michael Jordan, you know, in basketball, Kobe Bryant, and all the greats, they all had not just one coach, multiple coaches in multiple areas of the game. We are no different. I compare CEOs to top athletes.
Absolutely. And they had coaches until the very last day they played.
Correct.
They didn't get to a point where they were done with coaching and they went and flew.
Don't worry. No, I still got it. You know, second before the end of the game. I know I can, I've done this shot 1,000 times. No, they need somebody, if anything, to push them to be the best that they can be. Mm-hmm. Hey, so there's one thing I want to talk about. It's knowledge drain.
Okay.
You know, I believe that if you have a small business, you should be, as a small business owner who wants to be building a brand as a CEO, that you should be able to do every aspect of your business.
Right. No question. You're foolish if you can't.
Many calls I get where there is knowledge drain. So it was either a partnership or two friends started a business together. One had the technical knowledge and the other one had the sales knowledge, and they started doing business together and it was great until it wasn't great.
And it fell apart. Yeah.
The technical guy leaves and the salesperson has no knowledge of what to do and the business implodes.
And worse yet, you don't know what they did or didn't do while they were there.
I got a call. You know, I just thought about this. I get calls all the time, people, hey, you know, and not everybody has to turn into, it's not like I'm seeking to engage everybody, but I do, you know, because of speaking engagements, people come to me and have questions about business. So I got a specific call about somebody who wanted to get into healthcare.
Right. Well, that's interesting.
Yes. Who has no knowledge in healthcare.
Oh, wow. You just wake up and decide to get into healthcare. What?
I heard that the grass is greener on the other side. I think there is a pile of money to be made by becoming Medicare, buying a Medicare home health agency, and somebody has the license. I think you can make millions. And I started asking questions. And I said, so what nursing background do you have to be able to take this on? None. I want to be the financier. I want to be the owner, and I want to just collect checks. I'm paraphrasing, but essentially, I just want to have an absentee business. I said, well, this is not the kind of business. This is not like a coin-operated wash machine, a laundromat. This is oversight and government regulation to every week, to the extreme, right? And you want to get yourself into that, which means that you're going to have to depend on, that's the key word, depend on specific people with nursing degrees who can run it, who need to have in your staff, that you have to pay them huge salaries so they can just be there, so the license is attached to them, and it, everything is going great until one of them decides to leave you and start another agency. What do you do then?
You're really in a pickle. You've left yourself so exposed. Gee whiz, don't do that.
Right? So just be shrewd. If you haven't started a business and you're thinking about starting a business, you probably be better. You are the expert on knowing how to do, you know, you may not know the accounting, you may not know the legal side, you may not know the quality control, but you know how to do something that you're going to put on the marketplace, that you know how to do, manufacture the service and provide well, right? And then you build a team around it. You'd be better off than trying to buy something else that you have no expertise on, don't you think?
You know where we're seeing a lot of this?
Where?
A lot of this. The burgeoning cannabis industry.
Yes.
Right now, we are seeing absolute clashes of atmospheres. Just, we have people.
That's
who,
the final frontier right now. This is the Wild West, right?
We are absolutely, you know, heading west to find gold, apparently. But what we're seeing is that people who have been in the cannabis industry, you know, because it was illegal up until a few years ago, we had people who were good at cultivating. And they knew how to cultivate, and, you know, for whatever reason, they had a green thumb and they could, you know, not kill the plants, whatever. And then now with it becoming legal and everybody thinking that this is the golden goose, we have business people who are now jumping into the industry.
Because there's a dollar to be made.
Because there's a dollar to be made, but they have no idea how to cultivate.
This is an agricultural business.
It is an agricultural business, and farming is a very particular product to farm. It doesn't, it can be killed easily. We'll just say it that. So you can easily make mistakes and, you know, have terrible product. And now with the regulations and the testing that's happening, everything, if they're doing it according to the law, everything is tested, and it is, there is a definitive yes or no. Is your product any good, or is your product terrible? Or you know, so where back in the day, people, they had their plants in the backyard and, you know, oh, yeah, it's great. You know, there was no metric to what great was. And so we're definitely seeing this, and business people are getting in and approaching cultivators and wanting to get into the business. And the interesting part is, very, very, very few people understand either world. They either don't understand how to farm for a business, or they don't know how to, you know, take that business knowledge that they have and operate in an incredibly regulated world.
If we were to just distill this last hour and just a few bullet points, what would you want our listeners to take away?
I think that the end
from
of the,
today's, you know, the talk
end,
show.
The end of the day, it's always a conundrum, and don't beat yourself up because you're in a conundrum, because that's what it is. Then that's what it is supposed to be. On one hand, you're supposed to know every facet of your business. You're supposed to be able to function and successfully complete every phase of your business, whether it's being, in my world, able to fill out the judicial counsel forms and get them filed, draft a pleading, do discovery, you know, understand procedures in a courtroom, or counsel clients and understand the law and the area of law that we practice in.
Right.
But at the same time, I need to be able to understand how the files work and do all the jobs that all the support staff does as well. But at the same time, I'm supposed to be out here looking down the horizon, seeing what trends are coming in business, seeing, you know, how can we make ourselves better, networking, building those key relationships in the community. And so you're caught in this, am I supposed to be here working all the time? Or am I supposed to be out there, you know, watching the horizon as it comes? And it is a conflict.
And be profitable at the same time.
And watch,
right, because you won't be, and watch the cash, which we didn't even talk about. But I think we've talked in nauseam of the last few weeks. So, hey, Listener, we love to have you tune in. Don't forget, we're on every Saturday at 10 a.m. And, you know, if you have any questions on the accounting side, on the finance side, on the scalability side, even if it's just a question, feel free to call our office, 559-207-3148, or look us up at www.greenlandhq.com. You know, just love to help the community. Or if we don't know the answer, we'll point you to the right person. And you need to go to Claudine's website too, Claudine.
Yep. We are located in Turlock right now, in the process of opening an office in Modesto. We're really excited. Growing, like everybody.
Speaking of scaling.
Yes, scaling. Absolutely. So we are currently at 209-427-2200, or you can catch us at www.sharon-law.com, and that's SHERRON-law.com.
Great. Well, it was just another great show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll
Happy
talk
Mother's
to you next
Day.
Saturday. Happy Mother's Day.